Hello, welcome to this segment of Open House here at Community Media, where we bring some of the most fantastic people in the community in and share with you the amazing things that they're doing to make our community a safe, vibrant, and thriving place to live, a great place to live. And I'm Raymond Galker. I'll be your host here today. And we have Matt Moeller with us, who is the Director of Safety and Communication for the Conewaga Valley School District. Matt, thanks a lot for coming into our studio today.
Appreciate the invite, Ray.
Oh, not a problem. You know, when we look at what you do, it's extremely important. You know, we have our school district. We have a lot of extremely talented, capable, creative individuals who work there, and they take their career, their job, their task very, very seriously, as I know you also do.
Absolutely.
Can you explain to us what the Director of Safety and Communications is?
It's a pretty large position when you look at it. I'm pretty fortunate because I've had the incredible support of our school board, our superintendent, assistant superintendent, and even Dr. Dahl, who's just joined us as a new assistant superintendent, has been very, very supportive of the mission we're trying to do. This is a position that is in charge of all safety for the district, K to 12. We have about 4,000 students and about 650 staff members. It's important in that you're not only taking state regulations down from the state of Pennsylvania, but you're basically peeling back the layers of the onion to find out exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing. How do you comply? How do you implement that? How do you fund it? And those sorts of things. And for me, the position was born out of our comprehensive plan, you know, a couple of years ago. 2022 to 2025 was the plan. And it earmarked safety and communications as the two top needs in our district. So that's kind of how that position was born. And it's kind of in my wheelhouse a little bit. I enjoy it.
Your wheelhouse in the respect that your father was a sheriff.
He was, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's in his last term. The word has probably trickled down at this point. He's been in the sheriff's office for over 30 years, been elected to 5 terms, so that's a long time as Adams County Sheriff. And through that, I got to see all the things that he did, just with law enforcement and those sorts of things, and working with the community and developing the relationships with the local law enforcement, first responders, the EMS, and I have those kind of same relationships with them. And although I've been in education for almost 30 years, it's been a good change for me since January of 23.
So your family, your father was a sheriff when you were how old?
Oh my. Well, it wasn't always that way. We had a masonry business for a long time. Mm-hmm. But my last couple years of high school in the mid-80s, he started dabbling with law enforcement. And then, lo and behold, I graduated, and he kind of went further into it. Ended up in the prison system, working as a prison guard, then kind of a deputy sheriff, and then ran for office. And then one thing led to the next, and there's the next 5 terms, which is quite impressive in anything you're doing to be elected 5 times. But so he kind of made that shift when I was probably 17, something like that.
So your father, during your last, so you were like 17, 18 years old, started to donate his time to the community?
Yeah, that's a public service position, as you know. It's one that you're the face of those types of things as well. You got to get out in public and meet people, let them know that you're there for whatever they may need. And he's been, it's not a Monday to Friday job for him. You know, it's one of those types of things where sometimes you're going to be at Apple Harvest or you're going to be at the reenactment or whatever it may be. You're going to be there from that department because folks want to see you. You know, they want to make sure that you're safe and you're spreading that message. And I've kind of tried to take some of that also in my job. I don't work Monday to Friday. It's if I need to be there, you know, whatever time it may be, I mean, you're going to see me there. For instance, Friday night football games are one of the ones that, and you and I know each other a little bit from that as mm-hmm. well, during my time as head football coach. But now I'm no longer involved in coaching football, but now I'm Director of Safety and Communication. So you're going to find me there on a Friday night with my security team, making sure our venue is as safe as it can be for the spectators and the participants. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece that goes beyond when the buses leave.
Mm-hmm. You know? So was your father involved with the fire company when he was?
He was
when
not,
you were young.
I don't believe he was involved in the fire company.
Okay, no. Because he gave his time mm-hmm. to law enforcement. So at a younger age, you were exposed to the values and the characteristics of giving to the community. And when you do it and you make a commitment, you're all in.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, Matt, my first memory of you must go back to the 80s.
Yeah.
Now, you were in high school in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And I was working with Frank Smith. We had a program at the YMCA for conditioning. And it was important for you to do your conditioning within the community of the Colonial football team rather than branch out. I mean, you did come to some of our workouts, but building that community at New Oxford was extremely important to you as a junior, senior in high school. And this talks a lot about your character. I mean, that was when you were 18. Now you're a little bit older than 18. And for many, many years, making New Oxford, Conewaga School District, the best it could be, has been part of your life.
Yeah, it's really quite remarkable when you think about it. And you're right, looking back, I mean, we're all going to be at retirement sometime. I mean, I'm eligible to be retired soon, you know, but I'm nearing 30 years in education. But I sit there and think, as you mentioned, I went to that school. You know, my brother graduated from that school. My wife graduated with me in the same class, and our three children graduated from Conewaga Valley. So it has become entrenched in who I am and what I do. And they joke with me back there about being the mayor and knowing everybody and Mr. Colonial. And I always, it's a great day to be a Colonial. That's the tagline. They all mm-hmm. know it. I'm saying it all the time. And it's just, it's part of who I am and what I do. And I'll miss it when I'm gone, but it's never going to leave you. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I don't know how, none of us know how long we have anywhere.
Right.
But I know that in education, I'm close to year 30. Obviously, I can retire in the next few years, but I enjoy what I'm doing. I have a passion for what I'm doing. We have so many chapters that aren't written yet back at Conewaga Valley, and we are writing a chapter all the time, and we're proud of the progress we're making, and we just got a lot of, I always joke, Dr. Perry will tell you, I'm telling her, Doc, we have more wood to chop. You're going to need a couple more axes because we got a lot more wood to chop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Well, you're the type of guy, I think, that would use a chainsaw. You know?
Yeah.
See, or if you're a chopper, you could woodchuck a lot of wood there.
Yeah.
I mean, I am so honored to sit aside of an individual of your character. When you do go about your next career, if it's retirement or what, which I'm sure it's going to be retirement, it's not going to be anything else. You would never leave New Oxford to do something else. But what you've given them, a part of you has changed Conewaga School District tremendously. You've seen a lot of changes. Let's look at this. Okay, you went to Conewaga Valley. You went to New Oxford High School. Then from there, what did you do? You went to college. Where'd you go?
Well, Slippery Rock very briefly and came back very quickly, about a year, to watch. You know, just basically, that's the first time in my life I was ever that far away from school, you know, or my house.
That's a bit.
I lived in Adams County my whole life, and my brother was just going to be in high school. I wanted to support him, but within that year, I came back and volunteered and started my coaching career with Jardy Lawrence in 1990. So that's when I got my roots in education as I was finishing my degree at York College down in York.
You spent a year at Slippery Rock, mm-hmm. a full year.
Yeah.
And then you went to York. And yep. You went to York so that you could still be involved at home, but also with the school district.
Absolutely. I may do schedule sacrifices where you try to, and I'm not sure always how smart that was, but I worked it and played it because I knew I needed to do this and I wanted to be there to coach. And I had to, I had to have this class in the morning then because I couldn't do it in the afternoon. And it's just what you did, and it became entrenched in what I wanted to do. Whether it was wrestling, baseball or football, those were the things I was involved in coaching. And that's kind of where you laid the groundwork for all that.
And you had a great opportunity to coach with Jardy Lawrence.
I did.
An amazing individual. Yes.
Oh yeah, he's an outstanding mentor to me. He didn't have to say yes, but he I don't even know if he knew me. But it was 1990. I'll never forget going and asking him. I think my dad and I were building what is now the visitor concession stand on the south side of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one we were actually building that because I mentioned my dad was a mason.
Right.
So I'm over there carrying block and brick, putting that. I don't even think we use that anymore. We use the one on the north side where the booster club is and those kind of things, mm-hmm. but we still have that one. We're putting brick on the outside, I think, and I wanted to meet the new head coach. It was, I had just graduated,
mm-hmm.
and Jack Billman left, and then Jardy came in, and I don't even know if I knew him, but mm-hmm. we just kind of struck a chord, and he took me in, and he said, I'd love to have you help with the middle school program, but you can help with high school as much as you can, and those sorts of things. And one thing led to another. I was in that program for 27 years.
And eventually you were the head coach?
I was. Spent 7 years as head coach from 05 to 11, the fall of 11. And then I moved into Gettysburg College with Coach Streeter. 5 great years of my career there as well. And then thankfully, Dr. Greenhole was our superintendent at the time. He's very supportive of all of that. And then when I went to be the principal in the middle school, and took that step up to be principal, that's the time I needed to step off the playing field and stop coaching, because there's a little more responsibility with that than there was as a teacher or an assistant principal. When you're leading a building, I felt, and Dr. Greenhold never told me I had to, I just felt that if I'm going to be the principal of the building, I need to be the principal.
All in.
I couldn't be at practice and not be able to respond to this or that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but that my career with Coach Lawrence, I credit him for so many things, and you know Jardy and the whole team of folks we had working for us, even the guys that I had as a head coach too. For me, we're pretty fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, a lot of guys that bled red, white, and blue back there. Mm-hmm. The colonial nation definitely was done well.
Mm-hmm. So you surrounded yourself with some extremely awesome individuals. Jardy Lawrence was one. Russ Greenhalgh, amazing, amazing individual. And Coach Streeter, again, but I'm beginning to think, Matt, that I don't know if anybody else could be Mr. Colonial other than you. From the time you were in the school system as a young individual, you've only been out 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year. Other than that, from the time you were in first grade or kindergarten, which was it?
Kindergarten.
Boom. And leadership. You're an awesome leader. Head coach, just, being a teacher is a leader,
Funny story about that, Ray. Not a whole lot of people know the story. There was a chance for me to leave at one time. I was probably 24. I was just finishing up at York College, and I student taught that 1 year that you student teach, I student taught in the spring. Then the cooperating teacher went on sabbatical, back when there were sabbaticals that were taken. So I took that same class for the whole following year. Well, he was coming back, and there was nowhere for me to go except substitute or whatever, and I was a young husband, young father, and I'm thinking, I need to do something. And I actually had an interview at Littlestown and actually got the job at Littlestown. And I had the opportunity to go, and I remember them calling me and offering me that job, and I'm thinking, I called Coach Lawrence right away. And I almost felt like I was betraying the Colonial Nation,
yeah.
because my heart was not there. My heart wanted to be here. And I remember telling Jordy, and he was on his roof of his house doing a roofing project with the high school principal and I think the superintendent. And he was listening, trying to be supportive, but didn't want to say things too loud because, you know, to trying to just confidentiality or whatever. But I ended up telling, I think it was Dr. McConaughey over at Littlestown, the one the superintendent from back in the 90s, and Bryant Meckley, who offered me the job, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for.
Oh my.
And we talked to this day about that opportunity. And I said, look, I'm gonna pass on this, and I'm going to hope that something opens at Conewago Valley. In that same week, Bob Conrad, who was also a mentor to me, I was a captain of the football team in the late 80s with his son, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Bob went to Southwestern.
Okay.
And that opened a job in the high school. So I left the job that I had for hoping that one would open at some point at Conewago Valley. Talk about crazy. In the times when you're a young father and young husband and you need a career and just rolling a dice and hoping something lands. But as you and I talked about before, things happen for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and it did, and I've been forever grateful for that opportunity. And it's like, well, I'm here for a reason. I'm going to make something happen.
And Mr. All In, whenever you put your mind or commit to something, you're all in. And I might just have a sense that before Coach Lawrence and the superintendent of school and who else was on that roof, before they got down off that roof, they were strategizing and how they could open something up for you. You've been a great role model and advocate for many of our youth. And you know, you talk about Bryant Meckley, and he's in the Adams County Sports Hall of Fame. And we had a chance to interview Lefty Beiser. And Lefty has identified many of the people who made the Sports Hall of Fame. And the one thing they have in common is they're leaders and they're givers. They give to the community. They're very community-minded. They give to the community and they're leaders in the community. And Matt, you are too.
Sure.
You are a leader. And
for me, Ray, it goes back to the way you're raised and the way you're born. You know, my dad, my mom, basically laid that groundwork with how to treat people, how to do things the right way. And I couldn't be more blessed with people like Jack Billman as my head coach, Jordy Lawrence, having Russell in my life, you know, and that coaching mentorship. As we started off as oppositions, you know, we coached against Bermudian Springs, and then Russell came in, you know, and then Barry Streeter at the end of my career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barry, again, you talk about what you learn from people, you know, the lessons that are there, it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been pretty fortunate and just tried to weave that into not only what I do on the athletic field, but how I taught in classrooms and what I do with our public right now.
And I think the thing that you learn from individuals like Russ Greenhalgh and Barry is when you learn to be a coach, the X's and O's are not really the most important thing. It's the relationship you have with each one of the people who have committed to be on your team. And for you, that's not only in sports, it's the person sitting in your classroom. And then when you became the principal, it was the person that was in your building. And now, the safety of all those individuals within the school district is what's important to you. And you have a motto, preparation is a choice. Can you talk to us about this model and how you use it with your safety task force?
Yeah, we're pretty proud of that. And I can tell you, I mean, you mentioned Coach Streeter, and I'll just talk one real quick about Coach Streeter. One of the things I learned the most coaching college football with him was if something didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, the first thing you do in college is look at yourself. How did you coach it?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? Did you coach it or teach it the right way? I never really, try telling that to a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they're quick, and I was like that too as a teacher. You don't always look in the mirror that way. You know, it's like, I have to self-analyze. I have to self-evaluate What did I do? Did I instruct it the correct way? Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. So it was all about self-reflection and how did you attack it or approach it as a leader, as a coach, or whatever. But mm-hmm. for us, you mentioned the safety task force. We are incredibly proud of that. I took this job in January of 23. And the minute we were in that position, we created what we call a safety task force. And I don't call it a committee. No one wants to be on a committee. Everybody's on committees. We call it a task force because task forces get things done. And we just kind of formulated that. And that has key stakeholders of our district. And I'll talk about this all day long to people who ask. But administrators, teachers, support staff. We have nurses, custodians. Doesn't matter. First responders. We just had one today for an hour and 15 minutes. And we had all the local first responders on the team. We had that. It was a full team. I think there was 33 people there. Director of food service, HR director, anybody that might have a hand in student safety is at that task force meeting. It's every month. And you're right. First thing we do is put the agenda on the board and the motto. And the motto is preparation is a choice. And I talk to them, look, we're either choosing to prepare or we're choosing not to. Those are choices. And we're going to choose to be prepared, you know, for what may or may not happen. We also talk about our why. I'm a big person that goes back to what is your why? Why do you do what you do? Well, for us, our why is because our students and staff deserve it. They are the most important assets we have on our campus every day, the people we employ and the people we educate. And if they don't feel like they're safe, it doesn't matter what else we're trying to do. It's not going to get done because they don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why that job is critical. And that's why we are not going to put it on the back burner. It's going to be on the front burner, everything we do.
And the why, I like how you just described that each individual there deserves the best each and every day, every moment. I believe I heard you say that. And
awesome today, Ray. Each building has a safety lead who attends that. It might be an assistant principal, it might be a principal from the five buildings. And I said, what did you do to increase and enhance safety in your building in the last 30 days? I want to know about it. Mm-hmm. Here's your time to tell this group what you did to show that you're standing behind safety.
Because preparation also is a preventive mm-hmm. measure.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. It is. And again, we just have to make sure that we try to uncover every stone that we can, look at our processes, what are we doing, what is best practice, from the whole way from evacuations to fire drills. You know, what are we doing? You know, or lock-in drills or weather drills or whatever it might be. You know, access points or secure vestibules. I mean, or do we have what we need to have? You know, or surveillance cameras. Or there's a lot of things that we have to take a look at and make sure that we have what we need in place to mitigate some of the issues that could come our way.
And you can't just sit back and say it will never happen. I mean, you could look around and not see. But it could happen because you're dealing with people. Mm-hmm. And people are unpredictable.
They are. In my position, I mentioned earlier, I think I did, this was born out of our comprehensive plan back in 22. It identified the stakeholders of the area, the district, teachers, administrators, parents, police officers, we had a couple of real estate folks, just a wide variety of people came in and identified safety and communications as two areas that we had to be better at. So that's kind of how the position was born. But you're right, we always got to look and we always got to evolve in terms of what's happening. But again, that was back in 22 and I started in 23 and made that transition and we're hitting the ground running and we have a lot of work. We've covered a lot of ground. You mentioned earlier before we started filming that sometimes people will ask, how are you able to do what you're able to do? Well, that's my job. That's what I do. Because in some districts, they don't have a director of safety. They have maybe a maintenance director who also does safety, or a human resources guy who has another job. They got to do safety or something like that, or assistant principal in a building, but they got to run safety for the district. Well, it's hard to do both of those jobs with 100% fidelity. I mean, so don't look at what we do as the, I mean, we're proud of what we've done and we've come a long way and I like to think we're a leader in the area in many of those ways through the hard work of everybody on that team. But again, we have a dedicated person like myself to be able to do that. And with that comes some of the successes we've had.
And this speaks highly of the Kahnawake School District. This was a very strategic identification of a need. And it was then became a very intentional solution. So it was the school district being intentional and strategic in providing the safety for everyone, not just the kids. I mean, it's the staff, it's the teachers, it's everyone there. And in this day and age, it's not something that, hey, you could take care of maintenance. And by the way, safety. This isn't a by the way for the Conowaga School District. This is kids first.
And you mentioned it, intentional. That's a word we use a lot. Because if you're serious about something, you have to be intentional of how it's going to be applied and how it's going to be done. You can't just talk about it. You know, there's a practice and plan in place.
So what are some of the things that have been done?
Oh, wow. Well, the first thing I mentioned, we wanted to put safety on the forefront of everything we do in every conversation. So the reason we formed that safety task force is because of that. You have to sell the vision to every, and you know this from the times you were in not only athletics, but also in education. You have to sell why it is you're doing something. You have to build that coalition. And this is why we're doing it, you know, and this is where we are. This is where we're going, you know what I mean? And not only that, but you have to know where you were previous to all of that, you know. So we've developed a plan. We've just square one was just where are we, you know, and not that anything anybody did before me in January of 23 was bad. It's just it was what it was. We're fortunate to have someone to take safety. We're just going to take all the good work they did, and we're going to move with it is what it is. So we started revolutionizing and modernizing the emergency operations plan, which was probably done by the efforts of several over 15 years prior, and it was what it was. You know, we were able to say we had a plan. Was it what we wanted? Probably not. You know, we had to look at, are there parts of that plan still in what we do? Yeah, there are. You know, we do have that. But I had the safety task force and a subcommittee, which also included first responders, in there looking at what we do. Is this what's best for kids? Is this best practice? So we combed that whole thing, and we went through it. Made sure it was updated with numbers and different things that we needed to have. So we did that. We created a security team back at Conowaga Valley. We never had any kind of security at all. I guess it was probably last October, not this past one, but the previous one, we hired our first armed security officer. We were one of three districts in York Adams County without any. And I think it was, at the time, it was Biglerville, Bermudian, and Suburban out of York were three that didn't have any form of security. Well, we went together and we put together proposals, looked at various different things about what we could do. SRO with Eastern Adams, private security, G-Force, whatever it may be, private security where we run them and they're independent contractors. I even went so far as to meet with the county commissioners with Mrs. Duncan, the business manager, and the sheriff, my dad, and talked about placing a sheriff's deputy in the district and paying for it. You know, so we looked at multiple different options, and then what do we want to do from there? Or forming our own police department, which Gettysburg High School has, you know, and Cumberland Valley has, and Chambersburg has, and several do. So we're not quite there yet if we want to continue to do that. We landed on independent contractors that we have, and I'm pretty fortunate to have a 30-year veteran of Hanover Borough, Dwayne Smith, former chief of police down there, and Drew Breitner, retired sergeant out of Penn Township. Both of them are part of our security team. Dwayne was hired in October 24, and Drew was hired back here in June of this past June. So we have two armed security now for the district.
What difference did it make?
Well, I tell you, when we interviewed, to me, what you're looking for with those types of positions and our survey data that we surveyed our parents, and it all started with that too. When I took the job, I surveyed, what would you be supportive of this? Do your kids feel safe? Do you feel safe if you are a student? You know, those sorts of things. And we pieced it all together. The big thing for us is the person you hire has to be the right fit.
Right.
I don't care that they're the best cop. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the best fit for our students and our staff. And so I wanted someone that, A, cared about kids, you know, that had a passion for young people, similar to what we do as educators.
The advocate.
Right? Yeah, the advocate, that could be a role model, right, a mentor to kids, that could have that knowledge of law enforcement and maybe contacts they may need to make to help a family or whatever. But they have to be all sorts of things, a mentor, an advocate. I won't say legal counsel, but they were law enforcement. They know law enforcement, but they're doing a lot of things. The impact they make is visible. Anyone back there can tell you, from parents in the car pickup line to kids in the hallway, their impact is immediate.
They know each and every student. Mm-hmm. They know the families. Mm-hmm. They're very observant of what's going on.
We are very fortunate, Ray. I'll tell you, I can tell you stories that our families had shared with me about what they have brought to our district is incredibly powerful. You know, so the right person is what we needed, and we got two of them right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the battle. Kids understand that they care about them. They're in the cafeteria at lunches. They're out on bus duty saying hi to kids when they get off the bus or in cars. They're at dances. They're at football games. There are kids that will come up to them in the middle of the hallway, high-fiving them, asking for advice or this or that or whatever, or just someone to acknowledge them by name, because they may not. And I used to tell my middle school staff this too. There are kids in our building every day that come in there and somehow don't have one adult address them by their name. Somehow they're quiet. They kind of stay to the back and hope they get through till 3 o'clock and they're out of there.
And you don't know.
You
don't know what they're bringing in.
You don't know.
You know.
You know, that might be the one connection
that they ever
that
had.
Student made, mm-hmm, all day long was with one of those security officers, and they feel better about it.
And they go to bed hoping that the next day they get up, they'll see that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that person will say, "You're precious. You have worth."
That's the most important thing we ever did, is hire the right people for those jobs.
Matt, I want to go on to communications.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what that includes?
Yeah, some districts have communications directors. Mostly that's website, social media, press releases, those sorts of things. For me, it is also, although we share the website deal a little bit. I do almost all the social media for the school. Some of the website stuff I'll do. All press contacts come through me. All media contacts come through me, or should. So they're all made aware of that. It's nice to be able to have the same person wearing those two hats, because...
Why is that?
Well, again, sometimes with even snow delays or cancellations, I make those calls. Dr. Perry makes the call. We're back and forth at 4 a.m. in the morning with our transportation, our maintenance, and we're kind of making that team thing. I'll do the release, but... When I say it's unique to have one person doing both, if it is a safety issue and we do have to communicate, it's good that that person is the same person.
And
I'm,
you know,
very close to the superintendent,
mm-hmm,
and we can have that conversation about what we want it to be said to our stakeholders.
And you already have the contacts with those people who are the task force, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Those people have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You already have that. Matt, Mr. Moeller, Mr. Colonial, I've come to the end of our time. I could sit here and ask you many more questions about the communications and the safety, and, you know, I hope we have a chance to speak again.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in and spending time with us. Would you please let our people who are watching us, that are in our community, leave them with some type of message?
Well, on behalf of the Colonial Nation, I'm pretty proud of what we're able to accomplish in this short amount of time that we have. But I'm the result of a school board and a community and an administration that really saw the need for safety, invested in it, took the advice of the comprehensive plan, created that position, and basically are there to support anything we're looking to do. We are keeping safety on the front burner of every conversation. And the bottom line is, our kids and our staff deserve the best we have every minute of every day, and that's what we do at Conewaga Valley. So we're pretty fortunate.
So, Matt, if anybody has any questions related to what we talked about today, or any suggestions, or wanted to give you any support, or how can they get a hold of you?
I'm in the district office, east side of the secondary campus, right next to the middle school. So it's right there where it says Conewaga Valley. I'm in DO. They can reach me at extension 1023. MullerM@cvcolonials.org is the email. Or safety@cvcolonials.org is also an email we have. So we're there. It's like a tip line. But I'd love to hear from the community. Anything we can do to help out, we will. Because, again, we want to continue to be a trendsetter in the area to make sure that our kids have a safe environment to learn. Because if they're not safe and don't feel safe, nothing else we try to do really matters. So we have to get that right.
Thanks for watching this segment. We spent time with Matt Moeller, who is the Director of Safety and Communications at the Conewaga School District. And I'm sitting here and I just am in awe because I knew Matt when he was in high school and watched the decisions that he made and how he grew up, his values, his character, his dedication, his discipline, his ability to set goals, have vision. What a great role model. What a great role model Mr. Moeller is. And he makes this community a great place to live. So thanks for everything you do, Matt. And until we have a chance to bring another great individual in here like Matt, thanks for watching. Be healthy, and remember, you are precious. Thank you.